would they be able to minister as Jesus ministered? And they gradually began to realize that the Spirit did indeed make a difference in their lives. And it was instances like this story, that I think encouraged them to think that God was still with them. So I'm going to ask us to actually use some words that we actually use in the communion service sometimes. The Lord is here, and then would you respond, His Spirit is with us. Let's try that. The Lord is here, His Spirit is with us. Now, I thought those words were particularly appropriate for this season, because one might be tempted to think Jesus has ascended into heaven, the Lord isn't here anymore. He's gone, He's left us. The disciples must have felt a bit bereft, mustn't they? But Pentecost meant that He sent His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, to dwell with them and to be in them and to empower them for the days ahead. The Lord is here, His Spirit is with us. This instance where Tabitha, much loved person, obviously, it means gazelle, apparently, the name Tabitha in Aramaic and in Greek Dorcas, she was obviously much loved by the people in Joppa. And then tragedy, she falls ill and dies. What are they going to do? Say, wash her body, and then they call for Peter. Now, the disciples had seen Jesus heal, hadn't they? They'd even seen Jesus raise people from the dead. But would God listen to them? They'd seen God listen to Jesus and do what Jesus prayed for, but would God answer their prayers? Over those 3 years when they were with him, first of all, of course, Jesus did miracles and healed people and so on, and they must have watched amazed, gradually hauling on board that Jesus was somebody very different and very special. And then he broke the news to them that they were going to do this as well, that they were going to, if you like, follow his example. And then Jesus sent them out, you remember the story, sent them out into the villages and told them to do the things that he did, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead even, and so on. And they reported back that they had indeed seen miracles. And then Jesus commissioned them to do what he did, and then he left them and ascended to heaven. But he gave them his Spirit. And so the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Now Tabitha dies, and they do all the right rituals. They do all the right Jewish things before burial, washing her body, placing her body in an upstairs room, and so on. But then they also do something very curious. They send a message to Peter, please come at once, immediately, exclamation mark. Why the urgency? There's no rush, really, is there? Why the urgency? I think perhaps the Spirit prompted them, and they had faith that God would do something about this. That Tabitha's illness and death was not God's perfect will. And the Spirit prompts Peter too. Peter not only answers their call and rushes there, but Peter seems to know what to do, doesn't he? He's a good Jewish man. He knows about the stories in the Old Testament even of Elijah raising the dead and Elisha raising the dead. More recently, he's seen Jesus do it 4 times in the Gospels. He remembers, I guess, particularly Jairus' daughter. Do you remember the little girl who died? And Jesus took Peter and James and John, I think, with him, and he chucked the mourners out of the room. And then he prayed and he said, little girl, arise. So Peter chucks people out of the room, everybody, and he prays, And then he says simply, "Tabitha, get up." How do we know what Peter said? There was nobody else in the room. I think Peter must have told Luke the story, mustn't he? And it's very simple words, isn't it? Such simple, no long sort of involved formula or anything. As Jean read it, it's just, "Tabitha, get up." And she does. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. How about us, 2,000 years later? Because the temptation for us, as I'm sure it was for Peter, the temptation is to focus on what we can do, or what we can't do, indeed, ourselves. The temptation is to say, "Oh, no, it's impossible. That wouldn't normally happen, would it?" But Jesus taught his disciples to ask the Father, and the Father would send the Spirit. And even these Galilean fishermen, any humble Christian, would do the works of God. They would do as Jesus did, and indeed even more than Jesus did. Do you remember in the Lord's Prayer, that wonderful line, that wonderful prayer, "Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." For God's kingship, his rule, his reign, his sovereignty to be present here on earth amongst us. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Can I ask you, what challenges are you facing at the moment? It may not be a dead lady upstairs, but maybe there's something that you feel a bit low about, some challenge or other. Maybe there's a group or an activity or an event that you're responsible for that is either failing or lacking volunteers or people. People leave, don't they? Others resign and so on. Or perhaps you're feeling tired. There's something that you need to do which is not easy. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul speaks about his weaknesses, and he said that God spoke to him about exactly this problem. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, said Paul, "I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." Do you remember the first verse of that Men of Faith, that first song we sang? "Men of faith, rise up and sing of the great and glorious King. You are strong when you feel weak." Now that seems like nonsense, doesn't it? But what it's saying is that our human weakness actually helps us to turn to God, to trust in him, and for God's power to be shown all the more clearly because we're not doing things in our own strength. Can we do that? Can we, counterintuitively, can we rejoice in our human frailty, our human weakness, because Christ's power is then more evident and more clear to see? The buds are growing. Spring is coming. And God's power is on the way. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Let's just pray for a moment.